Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here's a papier-mâché hat. I made it with papier-mâché and clothes hangers and some old newspapers. And I wore it to an event that Lady Gaga was having when she launched some range of products. Very appropriate to wear to such an event. And today I'm talking to Susie Gorgeous.
You played, yes. Was it Merrylegs or Ginger?
I was Black Beauty. I was Beauty.
Oh, I like how disgruntled you
I was
you
Beauty.
Were
I was the lead, like, love. I was the lead. Yeah.
So, you were Beauty. And then...
And Merrylegs was a pony, Susie. I was a horse.
Welcome, bienvenue. Welcome.
Susie Gorgeous is one of my oldest, dearest friends. And we met in 1993 when we were working on a theatre production together. You'll hear more of the gory details of that later. And since then, we have had lots of fun and japes and many hilarious trips and adventures around the world. Today, we're going to be talking about one of those trips to Los Angeles in 1997, when I was going there to be part of a junket for a movie I'd been in. And Sue was coming along pretending to be my assistant. Yeah, she was like an assistant in disguise. You'll also be hearing a tape that we made during that time. I used to go around with a dictaphone, apparently, and could sort of record things. Early form of podcasting, I suppose. So you will hear actual oral illustrations of some of the things that Susie and I are reminiscing about. Susie, the item I have off Alan Cumming shelves is a clock.
A clock?
It's a clock. Do you remember it? It's a clock. Vintage.
I looked it up. It's the Mickey Mouse clock, sequel. Isn't it?
Mickey Mouse singing, oh, melody, musical alarm clock, jukebox.
We both had one of those. We both bought one. Do you remember we got told off because we used our per diems?
We got in such trouble. We got such trouble for buying it in the shop of the Four Seasons Hotel in Los Angeles. We put it on my room or on our per diem thing, and said charge it to the thing, and then they were like, "You can't buy clocks. You can't buy Mickey Mouse clocks." It's such a good clock, though. Do you know what I mean? Because it's got all the different.
What's your favorite tune on it?
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put my specs on. I'm going to tell you all the options.
I think I might be able to remember
available
them all.
To you.
Can I try and remember?
Oh, wait then. Wait till I get the picture of the thing so I can check if you're right. Okay, go ahead.
It's a small world after all.
Obviously.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Correct. You mean the Mickey Mouse Club March? Yes.
Then I think there was When You Wish Upon a Star.
There was indeed, Susie.
I think there's about seven tunes. I'm running out of them now, but I love them all.
What about something from Mary Poppins? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Oh, that's a good one.
Which is an annoying. I think that's an annoying.
Oh, I quite like
song,
that one.
I'm sorry. And Zippity Doodah, that was a good
Zippity
one.
Zippity Doodah was a really good one to start the day with.
And then there's Hi Ho, of course, as well, is a very good rousing thing to be awakened by. And then there's just Beep, should you wish to go.
Beep was awful.
Awful.
You could play one of the tunes because they're quite jaunty. Could they still work?
No, I don't. It hasn't worked for a while. I've just got it on my shelves. I mean, I don't know if it broke or whether I just put it there, but I might get it out again, actually, because you know what I don't like is the thing that you've got to be awakened by some electronic thing now, usually your phone. So you have to have your phone in your bedroom. I'd love to make a move to going back to having old-fashioned alarm clocks.
Yeah, I don't. As I've got older, I wake up so early in the morning, I don't really need anything to wake me up.
Oh God, I don't. Anyway, so that trip we went on and where we got reprimanded for buying Mickey Mouse clocks.
There were so many reprimands on that holiday, actually.
We did get into a lot of trouble. So what I can't remember is, did I have to pretend you were my assistant, or did we just think it would be a fun idea?
No, you had to pretend, because they said to you, we're going to pay you to come over and do all that junket stuff. And I think you said, can I bring my PA? And I think you negotiated to bring your PA, and that was me, who wasn't your PA.
My biggest memory of it is that of the PA-ness is that I was like doing the junket, and they kept saying, "Oh, is Susie not going to be joining you today?" I said, "Oh no, she's working in the room." I kept saying that. I kept saying you're working in the room when I was doing all these interviews, and the publicist people were saying, "Oh, Alan, you know this meeting with CNN or something." Interview, it's been moved by 15 minutes. Should I tell Susie? I was like, yes, why don't you? And I remember that they called up and they said, where is she? I went, she's by the pool. And so they called up the pool. And in those days, it was like, you know, they brought the phone to you by your sun lounger. And there was you getting a call. And they were like, oh, yes, hello. Yes, Alan's going to be 50. And you just like said, thank you very much. And then went back to your pina colada.
I spent a lot of time, but I did come along with a couple just for fun. And I remember people kind of asking me questions and me absolutely not having a clue. Just going, oh, I don't know.
It was such a hilarious notion, though. And of course, the other thing that we did, it was the first time ever that I did with anyone the you can't say no challenge, which
I think we made it up on that trip on the Virgin Airlines. Yeah. I think, I don't know, it was a piece of divine inspiration on the airlines.
It's so good, because what you do, everybody, is if you're going on some sort of swanky thing, you just have to say that you can't say no. Unless, of course, there's sort of moral or dietary reasons why you shouldn't do such a thing. But when they come up and say, would you like another glass of champagne? You have to say yes. Would you like another canapé? You have to say, would you like a manicure? You have to say yes. And it's actually, you realise how much of the time you have to sort of curb your desire. And actually now you've got to embrace everything. And we definitely did, Susie. I was listening, we made a tape on my dictaphone, and when we recorded everything that we ate.
Oh my God.
We've had our lunch now, and we've had salad and Cumberland sausage and mash, and I had chocolate mousse, and Sue had
lemon tart.
And we've had white wine, red wine, champagne. I've had brandy, cheese, chocolates, coffee, grapes. And I'm very drunk. I need to go to sleep now, do you?
Yes, I'm going to play a few more games, then I'm going to have a little nap. Turn in.
You've really mastered the games, Sue. I feel a sad failure on that front.
Well, I'll give you a tutorial later after you sleep, and away we'll go.
Thanks, Sue.
You'll be flying with Virgin.
So it's goodbye from me, Alan Cumming.
And myself, Susanna Louise Gorgeous.
My assistant.
The thing on the tape that I forgot about was that we kept writing letters of complaint. We had a lot of complaints on this trip because, first of all, when we were in the Virgin Club Lounge, our bags got wet whilst we were playing. There was a sort of a putting game. You could like play mini golf in this little corner of this lounge. And we put our bags down and there was a puddle of, because there was a leaking pipe or something. We wrote a letter to Richard Branson and complained, Sue. Do you remember that?
I don't know how we could have complained. It was like the best day of our lives for free.
Best day ever. And then when we were complaining about our wet bags, we were late and we had to get one of those little cars that they take old people to the plane on. They had to come and get us. You know, the ones that honk as you're walking along in the airport.
I think I've always wanted to go on one of those, and then we got to go on one of those.
Yeah. But the thing is that you think they're going to be fun, but when you're on them, everyone's like, why are they on them? They're not old.
We've just been up to the little bar area for to a bit of reading, and we had salsa and chips and cookies and chicken and mushroom sandwich. It was delicious. Mine was delicious. Was yours delicious too?
Very, very nice. Mm.
And Sue got into a bit of a strop with one of the stewardesses. Tell us about it, Sue.
Well, I said, a cup of tea, not too strong, right? So they got me a cup of tea, and it didn't have boiled water. And I said, is this water boiled? And she said, yeah. And I knew it wasn't. And if I die of water poisoning, I'm going to sue Richard Branson.
Thank you, Sue. We've had a lot of complaints with Richard Branson today, haven't we?
Yes, Richard's not in my best books.
We've written our complaint letter for our compensation for our wetness issue.
I don't know what to say to that. Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Wind it back.
You know when you asked me if I wanted to do that, I was working at the time at the Donmar warehouse. And I went to my boss and I said, Alan's asked me, and they knew who you were because obviously you'd performed there. So I went to my boss and I said, yes. Alan has asked me to go to LA with him, first class on Virgin Airlines to stay in a swanky hotel. And if you say I can't go, I will never forgive you. And that's what I said to my boss. And they kind of went, oh, all right then. I can't imagine saying that to anyone now.
So much of the stuff we did on that trip, I can't imagine doing it now, actually. I'm just thinking about it, and I have, sadly, we have evidence. So many things we did were just sort of so naughty and bratty. And just because it was all new and exciting and we didn't quite know what we were doing.
But actually, we weren't the most bratty. Neil was the most bratty. Neil Penlington, Neil. Lovely Neil.
So Neil was our friend who was, he didn't come on the trip with us. He happened to be there in Los Angeles with Matthew Bourne's Adventures in Motion Pictures, dancing. And he was a swan in Swan Lake. And I was having carnal relations with Neil at the time.
And his best friend.
So he was, and his best friend as well. That's right. I was actually, Colin, I was having carnal relations with two swans at once. And that was actually cause for concern. Actually, it wasn't during our trip. It was the only downside of our trip. There was a little bit of, it was like a Brian Rix farce, getting one swan out the door before the other one arrived. It's a bit terrible. But I don't regret it. See, no regrets. No regrets, Susie.
But we were young.
We were very young. We were. We should maybe tell the listening millions, Susie, how we actually met. Do you remember the day we met?
Oh, I do. So we were both working at the Donmar warehouse. I was doing the costumes. And you were playing the MC in the cabaret. And I had to paint every night a swastika on your arse, on your right bum cheek. And
obviously, we
had some great conversations.
We bonded because of that. That was her. And I remember years later, people would say to you, "Say, oh, Susie, how do you know Alan?" And you'd always say, "I used to wash his pants." That's what you used to say.
Head of pants wash.
Head of pants. And then didn't you, when you moved to the Almeida Theatre, and I remember you were in costume there, but you actually got them to give you a really important title.
Oh, no, I actually went to them for a pay rise, and I said, I'd like a pay rise. Uh-huh. And they said, the guy who was my boss then said, we've thought about it, and we're not going to give you a pay rise, but because you run a couple of departments, we're going to change your job title to Head of Wardrobes. thanks.
So is that what it said in the programme?
No, I think I just sort of, I don't think I accepted the title. I think I carried on negotiating for more money.
Head of Wardrobes, Susie.
I know,
so
the heady good. Days.
And then, because it was heady days that they made of that then. It was like star-studded. You did a play with Juliette Binoche. You did a play with Ray Fiennes. What was that one again?
That was Ivanov. And then later on, I think it was Richard III. So I did a couple of shows with Ray Fiennes.
Oh, what, Rafe did Richard III too? Oh.
Yeah, or one of
them. Wasn't it Ivanov? Wasn't Ivanov they were making a documentary?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm always afraid of. Like, I come back to that, you know, moment. So they were making a documentary and they came to me and they said, we'd like to interview. And they started interviewing me and they said, why is this particular production so special? And I said, all shows are special. Such a dick.
And we are...
We have never let you forget it.
I just seem to go, when I get interviewed for anything, I just sort of turn into this sort of really weird sort of Pollyanna Mary Poppins person.
I hope that doesn't happen today.
I think I will. You're special. Everything you do is special.
All podcasts are special. That's so funny. As all shows are special. It's just the best thing ever. Because you just, if I saw that in a documentary, I would want to slap the person that said that.
Yeah, but do you know what I did afterwards? I went to the producer and I begged them to cut me out. And they did.
Okay.
I just like, went out to visit the monkeys. Do you remember? Because you were doing Buddy, that film Buddy.
The chimps.
With the
chimps. Chimps, actually.
It was so lovely.
Yes.
It was so lovely.
Right. You're in the car. We've been to see the chimps. Where's Sue?
Hello.
And Neil. Hello, but I'm not here. And Sean, who's driving us.
Hello.
And did you feel a maternal longing?
I did feel maternal. They were so cute.
I know.
Oh, I did feel maternal.
They are very lovely.
Neil, did you feel any paternal longings?
Many paternal longings, yes, and I long to have one. I long to bore a chimp.
To bore a chimp?
To bore
a chimp.
I think it is, really, is it?
I think that means something different to be bored a chimp.
I suppose it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So, well, I've none of that.
You're not boring any chimps.
I'm not going to bore one, am I? No.
You're boring us, though, Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was a junket for Buddy. Yeah. That was the junket. And I was going to... I was expecting Tonka, the one that I really loved, that chimp that I really loved. I was expecting him to be there, and I was going to take him to the premiere. But then they took us, we went out to sort of meet some other chimps, because apparently he was, well, at the time, I thought he was busy filming something else, but it turned out there was other reasons why he couldn't, I couldn't see him. But we had such fun, didn't we? That we went out to the training place where the chimps live in the desert, and we were like bottle feeding little baby chimps apple juice and everything.
In fact, this is on my shelves. I have a photo of us with the chimps. I've got it here. In front of me. I love that photo.
I remember that photo because you're wearing that little funny flowery hat. That's actually by my friend Cynthia Rowley.
Yeah, did lovely. I had a matching handbag as well. I don't know where the bag is. But
that's right. Yeah. Oh, do you? Oh, I love that hat.
So nice.
I wish I had more hats like that. Yeah. We fell in love with those chimps, the three of us.
They were gorgeous. And they were in little outfits, weren't
they? Who wouldn't? Yeah, because they were getting them, they had to get them sort of assimilated to wearing clothes.
Yeah, oh,
absolute little darlings. But do you know what? Do you know why I wasn't able to see Tonka?
Was it because Tonka was going through teenage times?
Basically, yeah. So they kept saying things like, you know, like in these meetings, I say, so you're going to do this interview, then we're going to be a photo shoot with the chimps, and blah, 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 blah. And I go, oh, so will I see Tonka? And they go, oh, anyway, Alan, now, do you want the chicken for lunch or the blah, blah? I'm like, oh, another time, you know, oh, Tonka, oh, your car's here. So they kept, like, in retrospect, I realised they kept sort of changing the subject. And then it wasn't till, because you left before the premiere, I remember.
Yeah.
Which also must have been hilarious for them to wonder why my assistant is actually leaving.
I think that's all I could negotiate off of work. I think I got some time off,
but I had
to go back. I think I was allowed to go for like a week or something, or 5 days.
Right. So I was doing some press interviews. Like I was doing a morning talk show, live TV talk show, and I was in the little trailer, little dressing room, and the guy, some, you know, harried producer came in and sort of said, so Alan, we're going to talk about this, and then he went, it's a shame about Tonka, isn't it? And I was like, what, did he die? And because Tonka was my favourite chimp, and we were really, really, we loved each other. And in all the press notes for the film, like, I'd been talking about him for days, because they mentioned about the fact that Tonka was, you know, in love with me, and he sort of thought I was another chimp and wanted to groom me and everything. And when we, I said, did he die? And he was like, oh, no. He's just like, he's like six now, and he's sexually aggressive, and they thought he might try to rape you if he saw you. And I was like, what? And he said something like, we don't want to see a monkey doing that on live morning television, do we? The flyover states wouldn't like that. And I was so shocked and horrified. All I could say was, he's a chimp, not a monkey. And I was just, that was it. That was the last, I wasn't allowed to see Tonka because I was so, I'm just, you know, I would send him over the edge.
Oh, because that film was directed by our lovely friend Caroline.
Yes, who's also a guest on Alan Cumming's
show. Oh, is she? And because Caroline's so clever and and talented. But one of the other things she directed was Black Beauty. When you were, you played, yes. Was it Merrylegs or Ginger?
I was Black Beauty. I was Beauty.
Oh, I like how disgruntled you were.
I was Beauty.
There.
I was the lead, like, love. I was the lead. Yeah.
So, you're Beauty. And then.
And I was, and Merrylegs was a pony, Susie. I was a horse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But do you remember we then, we went out to Caroline's another time. She had this lovely ranch. We went out to Caroline's and we rode all the horses in the movie.
Oh, that's right. Ginger was there, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, Ginger, Merrylegs, Beauty. And I always loved name dropping the horses that I'd ridden. Like horsey name drop. Like, oh yes, I rode Ginger.
Oh, I'm on, you know, first name terms with Merrylegs. I think that trip that we went when you were pretending to be my assistant, Caroline had a foal, her pony had a foal, and it was called Evie. Yeah. And she was this little cute little pony, and it was like she had it in her, like in a little stable at the bottom of her garden. And we went to see it, and it was you know, relatively new, and it was a tiny little thing. And it had an underbite.
That's right. It's got,
it spoke
like that, didn't it?
It like that. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm a little pony. And sounds a bit like, well, best not mention her. Sue's alter ego, Kim. Is Kim around, Susie?
Nah, well, she's around, but she's not really interested in this podcast shit. Don't really like shit like this.
All right, Kim, thanks very much. Can you pass Susie back on?
I'm back.
Anyway, so there was a pony with an underbite, and it was so cute, and it let me groom it. Do you remember little Evie? She let me groom. I was the first human to be allowed to groom her. I had a little brush. Is that what you call it? Groomed?
Andrew and I like to play competitive horse terminology games, and I think we might call that a curry comb or a dandy brush.
So I curry combed her, is that what you'd say?
I think you might have used the dandy brush.
So anyway, so that was lovely though. It was a very touching moment for me. And I've got a picture of you and Caroline looking through the fence, all sort of, you know, proud and jealous, as I was the one that she chose to make her debut with. But also, do you remember when we were driving back? So this is the crazy thing, I think, that happens when people come over from Britain. I was living in London at the time. We flew over. They gave me a rental car. That's the other thing. They give you a rental car, which of course you want to use. And of course in Los Angeles, you have to drive. And there was no Uber or anything then. You have to drive. And we were just, that jet lag is a lot from that distance. It's a lot from going, you know, from those continents. And we were driving home from Caroline's house. And we were stopped at traffic lights on Santa Monica Boulevard. And there was all these people. It was like just at the gay bit, like at Boys Town. And it was like a crossing there. And it was all these gay men wandering out. And I, because I wasn't used to an automatic car and was so sleepy and so hungover, I was hungover probably, jet lagged as well, I kind of let my foot off the clutch. And of course, this car started to slowly move forward. But I was chatting to Sue, and I didn't notice these. And sort of, these men were kind of like, they sort of started to kind of swerve a little to get round it. And then I kept going, and then you couldn't. Do you remember what you said?
I couldn't articulate. I was again really, really jet lagged, and I all I could say, it was like it all went into slow motion, isn't it? And I just remember going oof,
oof. That's right, oof, which has become the sort of excrescence, that's not the right exclamation for anything in our lives that is, you know, deserves an exclamation. We just say oof to each other because it was
oof.
And it was terrifying. And I suddenly thought, I'm going to plow down, I'm going to like lay waste all these homosexuals in a crazy accident because I just took my foot off because I'm jet lagged. I'm always very vigilant now when I'm in on Santa Monica Boulevard at a crossing. I always put it into park.
That's very good. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, you. Did you do any driving when we were there?
I couldn't drive then.
Could you not? Oh, right.
No. I didn't get my driver's license until I was about 40.
Is that right, Suze?
Yeah. I love driving now. Well, because we lived in London and there was just no reason to drive. And it wasn't until we're kind of like, I moved out of central London that I thought, I better learn to drive. And thank God, because living where I live now in the middle of the countryside, you wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Out to Lunch with me, Jay Rayner, the podcast in which I take a particularly brilliant famous person to a top restaurant and grill them to a turn. In this latest season, you'll find me having delicious dinners with the likes of Patrick Keelty, David Hare, Nina Conti, Dame Eileen Atkins and Mary Beard, and the reliably outrageous Miriam Margolyes.
Richard E. Grant was on that.
He has an almost compulsion to smell whatever's around him. Has he never come and sniffed you?
Probably wisely, no.
All that and so much more. So do join me. Out to Lunch with Jay Rayner. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you remember at the time, around about that time, we were obsessed with Hello Magazine? I think it was when Hello Magazine was just reaching its zenith. And the idea that people was all saying, blah, blah, invites you to their North London.
We did our own Hello Magazine.
We did. We did our own Hello Magazine shoot. Do you remember those photos?
That's because you were so desperate to be in Hello Magazine. We actually had to make it up ourselves.
There's a really good one of, like, was it you with, lying on a rug that was a commemorative rug for Charles and Diana's wedding?
God knows where I got that from.
You loved it.
Oh, yeah. I think I laid and put my head in the place of Diana.
No, you're in between the two of them. So it's sort of like a Charles and Di sandwich. But I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember why we did that. Was that just there was one with your cat? There was one of you sitting on the loo.
Have you still got those photos?
Absolutely do, yes.
As well as the Hello Magazine shoot, we also made, me and Andrew, made you these placemats. I think we made about 5 or 6 placemats.
Oh, I still have
Andrew
those.
Andrew and I did a photo shoot. And again, it was in the days before when you couldn't kind of like, you had to actually cut out photos and stick them and laminate them.
Take them to the chemist and get them
get them developed. And I was at the time living with a friend of mine who was a ex-dancer. He stopped being a dancer to become a GP.
Oh my God.
He had loads and loads of leotards still in his cupboard. So when he went out, he broke into his wardrobe. Sorry, Ben, if you're listening.
Broke in, was it padlocked?
You know, went into his bedroom and put on all. And he had some fabulous leotards. He had snaky skin.
I often eat my dinner off that placemat. And there's you, and you had these weird wigs, and Andrew's got this snake skin one piece leotard, and then there's one when you look sort of like you're a sort of weird country and western singer, as well. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, and there was we had some great wigs, and they are just absolutely mental.
Yes, why, that was such a lovely thing, because that was like, it was such a nice thing. I was leaving to go to live in America, well, to go to live in New York for didn't know how long, and that was your gift to me, was sort of something so that every day I would see you when I ate off you, basically. It's such a good thing to do.
Yeah, because it was such a big deal when you moved away, wasn't it? We were all kind of, you know, we saw each other sort of every
constantly
day.
Yeah,
or you know, or not every day but every few days,
and yeah, the we talked every day.
Yeah, I mean, we still talk every week, but
I know, But it's sort of, it's funny, yeah, it was that weird sort of breaking of the chain thing.
Yeah, it felt like you know, now it's really normal that none of us live in the same country, but it's really normal. But at the time, it felt like we couldn't really think how life would be not seeing each other all the time. So we made these lovely placemats.
Wearing weird leotards. But it's funny though, isn't it? It's a sort of interesting thing about getting older that you sort of relax a bit about friendship. I felt anyway that, you know, oh, if I didn't see my friends all the time, and if they, I was always sort of anxious that people are coming to visit, because I felt that we would somehow, our friendship would lessen. And actually, I think that's the thing about true friendship and sort of true love and everything, is that it doesn't, you don't need to, it's a bond that stays. You don't need to, it's not like a sort of a thing you have to keep putting coins in the meter.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a kind of magical thing as well, because all shares are special, but it is a magical thing, because there are some friendships that just, they just carry on, they just happen, and it doesn't feel like any work, and it's easy, where others just sort of fall along the wayside, don't they?
Yes, or then people just, or people get weird, you know, sort of weird, so... And also it's an interesting thing, I think, as you get older, you think, yeah, you know, you don't, sometimes you just don't, you know, stop being friends with people. You just sort of, they fall by the wayside, or else you just think, you know what, life's too short. I don't see enough of the people that I really do love and really like. So why am I putting time into this thing when you're bonkers? I think that's a really grown up thing to do, to make a decision like that sometimes. I mean, I think sometimes people do you a favor by kind of either pushing you out or making it so that it's difficult to see them. So this, basically, this podcast is about me saying, Sue, I'm sorry, but Sue. Susie, before we go, I just wanted to talk to you about your name, because your full name is Susanna Louise Gorgeous, but it was not always thus, was it?
No, I was born Gore, Susanna Louise Gore, and every generation of my family have changed their name. So originally,
wow,
great grandparents were Solomons, and then because they were Jewish, they were moved to this country in the sort of, I don't know, probably 1870s. They changed their name from Solomon to Gorbach.
Oh.
Less German sounding. I mean, it sounds just as Jewish to me, but hey.
It does. Actually, Gorbach sounds more German. Solomon sounds more Jewish. Maybe they're trying to be more German Jews.
Yeah, so they went from Solomon to Gorbach. And then my grandfather changed the name from Gorbach to Gore. And then I changed the name from Gore to Gorgeous.
Is it because, like, when I knew you were called Susie Gorgeous, but you, that wasn't your proper name then. But then shortly after we met, you did it by deed poll.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And that was the most hilarious thing, because I remember you came round to my flat on the day when you had to fill in the form, and it was something like, I renounce the name Gore, and from this day forth I am forever gorgeous. I am gorgeous in name and gorgeous in deed.
It was brilliant. It was such fun, because you had to go and renounce Gore and take on Gorgeous everywhere. So you had to go, you know, I went to all these places and had to do it in an official way. But I love being gorgeous. I think it's really fun and nice. And I think more people should change their names to names that they like.
I do too. It's funny, because I was thinking about it today when I knew I was going to talk to you and I was going to ask you that, you know, and now, like, I just think, oh, Susie Gorgeous, I don't even, it's, you know, it's like my mum, I call her Mary Darling. I don't even think that it's weird that I don't call her mum, but I do call her mum sometimes. But, you know, it's just sort of one of these things. And I forget how it just seems so perfect for you. And it's, I'm so used to it as well. But it's, I was wondering if, like, when you go for like a job interview or something, or, you know, do people ever have, what's people's reactions to it, or
I think a lot of people are really curious. Like, they ask me if that's my real name, and then I always just kind of pretend that it is, that I was born with it. It is. But sometimes I'll tell people, you know, that I've changed it, but mostly I kind of just say, that's my real name. And but I do wonder, you know, I'm a director of a charity these days, and I do wonder if people just think I'm rather silly, but I don't know, I still like it.
I love it. Do you care if people think you're silly?
No, no. But, you know, it does sort of lose that sort of serious
gravitas
vibe. But I don't know. I think I actually think people remember you as well. Like once they've met you with my name, they'll remember you.
I think they would remember you anyway, Susie Gorgeous.
Why, thank you, Ed.
And thank you for walking down memory lane with me today.
Oh, it's been lovely.
From our Mickey Mouse clocks all the way to your Deedpool change of your name. Thanks, Susie.
Oh, thanks, Alan. See you
love
soon.
You, mean it. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
It's been so lovely recording this episode of Alan Cumming Shells with my friend Susie, but it's also been lovely for us both to listen back to that tape we made in 1997 together on the trip to LA. And one of the loveliest things we discovered was a little message that Neil, our friend Neil, who has now sadly left this planet, he left this little message to Sue after she'd gone back to London, saying how much he'd enjoyed meeting her and how he hoped that they would continue to be friends.
One big major point is that we're missing Sue Gorgeous, and we had to look at pictures. We had to look at pictures of you, Sue, to remind us of you, because I really, really fell in love with you, Sue, and it was so nice to have someone here to talk to and just to listen. And I want to see you in London.
And you know, they did become great friends, really great friends, until Neil sadly died a couple of years ago. And what Susie and I would like to do is to dedicate this episode of Alan Cumming Shelves to the memory of Neil Pendington and to leave you all with something else we discovered on that LA tape. It's Susie, Neil and me all singing Hello Young Lovers from The King and I.
Hello young lovers, wherever you are, I hope your troubles are few.
Alan Cumming Shelves is hosted by me, Alan Cumming, duh, and produced by the lovely Jack Claremont. We are part of the Acast Creator Network and the Crowd Network too. We just love networks. Another Crowd Network podcast to check out is Unaccountable. It's a podcast fighting for police accountability in the United States. It's a podcast that tells the stories of innocent people who've been killed by the police, just like George Floyd, but also people like Mohamed Muhaimin, Shacey House and Carrie Illich. And so many more you haven't heard about, but you really should have. The stories can be difficult to listen to, but this could be the most important podcast you'll ever hear. It's a podcast fighting for change, and we need to join that fight. Just search for Unaccountable in your podcast app now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.